White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Here is Terrible Tommy back at the helm of the intergalactical spaceship we call the Bunker. Yeah, I'm refreshed and ready to go. And I want to thank my webmaster for filling in for me for several days. Did a great job, as always, and we're back at it. So we're at P.O. Box 401. Don't forget that. Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and we're at resist.com, of course. That's where you get a college education, a university education on the race issue. That's right. Well, it is, what is it today? I've lost track of time. It's April the 15th, and I read some of your emails while I was on the road, so I'm never completely out of touch. And I got your messages and commented on some of them. Well, it's a wonderful time. Chaos is well in motion. I kept telling you about chaos for a long time. I notice now I hear chaos all over the radio, bands, and television. I wonder whether that's my magnanimous influence and power input into the system. I don't know, big everybody's talking about chaos, and we love chaos, don't we? And we want to thank all our progressive and left-wing radicals for helping us out on this. You know, the best thing to have happen is when people who are supposed to be your opposition do your work for you. That's like sort of like the Black Ku Klux Klan. I mean, and Black Lives Matter. Well, they don't seem to realize it, but they're promoting our point of view instead of having these right-wing numbskull rallies around. We got the enemy doing our work for us. Or there's a lot of people in that opposition that could be turn out to be friends in a situation, but a lot of them don't realize that because all they've ever heard is race mixing dribble and all the nonsense that the Saul Alinsky crowd keep pumping into them. Good old Saul Alinsky, that Mrs. Clinton, the bitch from wherever. Bitch from Arkansas, but Illinois originally. She's one of the Alinsky fans, and Saul Alinsky was an agitator. He created our little Taco Bell bastard out in California that's now dead, Cesar Chavez. Yeah, he took Chavez, who was nothing but a pool hall roustabout up in Delano. I knew all that stuff very well. Took him back to Chicago and got him hepped up on Marxist revolution and sent him back to California. And Hillary was one of his disciples, too. I remember back then when Chavez was really thumping his chest and going strong. Incidentally, a lot of you people probably don't know that Cesar Chavez set up a border patrol of his own. See, I had my border patrol, the KKK border patrol, and he had a border patrol for the same reason. Well, not entirely. He didn't want these wetbacks coming up here taking the jobs from other Mexicans. And so that was his reason for putting men on the border. But they don't talk about that much. I remember one time sitting around in a bar or on a picnic table or something talking about, what are we going to do about this Cesar Chavez, back when I was a right winger and prone maybe sometimes to think about things I shouldn't. And they said, let's just take that guy out and cut his nuts off. That's the old right wing. And I got to be honest with you. I was a right winger for a long time. And then somebody goosed me, and I've been walking straight ever since. So when I criticize people, and criticize tactics mainly, you'll know why, because I have done it all. And in most cases, failed, I mean, because it was not possible to do it that way. It took me a long time to get my head straight. See,
Tommy, you just can't do that way, man. You ain't getting nowhere. You gotta get out of this right-wing conservative bullshit and get into the groove here, get into the race, because you ain't in the race. You're just playing the game for the right wing and the informants and the system, and because they control the right wing just like they control the left wing.
Well, as usual, when I return from a road trip, I get a lot of mail to open up, and even some of the old right wing crap is coming through here. Let's look what it is. Well, we got Ingrid Rimlin here. Is somebody's pushing her, selling $25 books. Nothing about that I could see about the white race. It's mostly old history that we should already know. And so I don't know why people are pushing people like that who are living quite well. I happen to know that Ms. Rimlin lives in a fine home out there in California, in La Costa, California. And I had some dealings with her years ago, but I found her to be very, very suspicious. So anyhow, I don't need any $25 books about history. I can get them for $5. Oh, here we go. This is the big one. The Gathering of the Klans. They spell Klans, C-L-A-N-S, a different way. White Rights Rally. There is no such thing as right. You have the muscle and the brain, and that's about it. When? April 23rd. Where? Rome, Georgia. If I remember right, that place is swarming with niggers or moon crickets or whatever you want to call them. Or you could say fine black gentlemen and fat black women. Time, 3 o'clock, sponsored by the National Socialist Movement. Oh, they're the Michigan boys, yeah. The Hollywood Nazis. Now, what are the Hollywood Nazis sponsoring a Klan rally? I don't know. Why wouldn't they be sponsoring a National Socialist Party? Well, let's see here. Speakers include leaders from National Socialist Movement, of course. Aryan Nations. I thought they were gone. Loyal White Knights. Texas Rebel Knights. Aryan Strike Force, SX Action Group, and Ted Dunn, there's a voice out of my past, Racial Nationalist Party, and Carl Hahn, he's still linked at the butt with David Duke. He'll never give up David Duke, Carl Hahn. Art Jones, oh my God, Art Jones, Illinois congressional candidate. I'm telling you, this is a real collection, man. I don't think I'd be driving all the way to Rome, Georgia to hear these guys speak. But I'll guarantee you one thing, there's going to be plenty of informants there and federal agents and press looking to see a circus. I see there's a new one been put together on TV. It was, I believe it was on CNN, it's going to be on there. And the typical thing with all the robes and all that kind of crap and all the, we can't stand these niggers, you know, and that kind of stuff. And they send a nigger comedian out to interview them, which I think if the Klan wants to salvage any respect at all, it wouldn't be letting a Negro into their, a Negro comedian into their midst, because it's they've become a joke. They've turned the Klan into a joke. They've turned it against actually what the Klan wanted to represent, but it doesn't represent it anymore because it's stupid, acting stupid, inviting nigger comedians in to interview them. So that's, if that's your thing, I hope you don't listen to this show. They're going to be running that on TV, I guess, this week. And, well, in a way, this is good. I like it when the right wing does this, really. I'm critical, but I love it because it keeps the real feds and informants off our back. Yeah, they're always going to show up at these things because it's easy money. Where are you going to do your duty, FBI Bill? Well, I was going to that Klan NSM rally. Well, why would you go there? Well, hell, maybe I can get them to do something, and then I can earn my money. Oh, okay. All right. So we won't bother them. We may poke a little fun at these guys, but we're not going to bother them because they're on their own trip. And hopefully they'll try to stay off our playground. I see I've got a letter from POW David Tate from the Order. He was the youngest member of the Order, you know. Dear Tom, received $25 from you a couple of weeks ago and the report on Putin, which answered a couple of my questions. Thank you. I've noticed your business card as I was about to throw the envelope away today. Don't vote for Tom Metzger. Then see what happens to your lifestyle. Nice, I like that. I have a good friend in Indianapolis I will send this card to. I suspect you will be busy writing new billboard slogans for your sign out front. Good luck. Well, I put the one, white lies mean more, matter more, up before I left on my trip. And still up there, plus drone Hillary. Speaking of Hillary, I don't know whether you got a chance to watch that Bernie Sanders Hillary debate last night, but it was good. Bernie tore her a new butthole. I thought he did a good job. Even though he is a Jew, a hell of a lot of what he says I agree with. But see what we got here, there's two types of socialism. There's Aryan socialism, and then there's Jew socialism. And Jew socialism is pretty easy to spot. But there's a lot of things that Bernie Sanders says I really agree with. So anyhow, and he doesn't back down, and he took it to her last night. She was pissed, and you can always tell when Hillary's pissed. She gets those funny, quirky looking looks on her face. She has trouble hiding it. So even though it's a pain in the ass to take the time to watch it, I did watch it last night. Okay, back to David Tate. Please answer this. I may need room on my visiting list this year. You're still approved, but others have expressed interest in visiting. If they do, I may need to remove your name for a while to make room for my list. If you plan on dropping by this summer, I will leave you on the list. Let me know, even if you only have vague intentions. It is easier to leave you on than it is to get people reapproved in this place. Well, I told him, I don't think I'll be able to drop by this summer, but maybe. It all depends, because I have some other places to go. Also, There's not much going on with me that is worth mentioning. This place is the most disorganized mess I've seen in 30 years of prison. So hard to believe he's been in prison 30 years. They've reduced our gym and library access to 2 to 4 hours a week in so-called general population. They supplement it with a couple of hours a day in the mini yard. That is simply being outside with no shelter for weather or bathroom facilities. We have 6 of these max security prisons in the state of Missouri that keep so-called general population locked in cell 20 to 22 hours a day, two to a cell in cells designed for a single occupancy. This happens nowhere else in America. The family is well, with the exception of my dad. His Parkinson's disease has worsened to the point that the family had to put him in a home. He was at a point where he needed help to get his clothes on, sometimes stand or turn over in the bed, and more. Work and school wasn't allowed my sisters and their kids to constantly monitor his care. They found a place that is 40 minutes from the family, and they will bring him home to be with them at least a couple of days a week. North Carolina State program, I guess they're pretty decent. My parents dedicated their lives to the cause and Aryan Nations all those years up north at the old church, Aryan Nations. And so Dad has nothing to fall back on. The family can't afford to put him on a top-shelf home with his own room and whatnot. He must share with another. This is hard for me, but much harder on Dad, since his mind is clear, but the body's failing. Just got my typewriter back from the shop, and this is the first letter out of the gate. A pile of things to catch up. Take care of yourself, and may the Father God and nature, great race, bless and keep you and yours always. Okay, well, Mr. Tate, David Tate's father, was a good friend of mine, and I've been to his home a few times when they were up in Idaho before they moved to Black Mountain, North Carolina. And he was a real soldier through thick and thin. And it's sad now that he can't even afford to get into a better place for people with Alzheimer's. You can't expect much when you dedicate your life to this struggle. And you got to know that going in. There's just no way you're going to end up with much money or anything else. So if you can keep your health, that's about the best thing you can expect. So that was a nice letter from David Tate, my friend. And when I first met David Tate, I've told you, he was about 16 or 17. Yeah. He was involved with us in that fracas we had in Los Angeles, where here again we made the mistake, and it was the last time I made that mistake, because I told them I didn't want to go to it. They were going to have this Klan NS get-together out in Cagle Canyon, and I told Frank Silva I didn't want to go, because I knew these things are always a problem. Finally, he convinced me, and I went there, and then we all got arrested. And David Tate was there, and Richard Butler was arrested. All of us were arrested, and we went through about 9 years of legal problems because of that stupid little thing where they said we were charged with burning refuse material without a permit. And that was the cross that the Klan guys lit up. So anyhow, it just shows that cost me a lot of money personally to go through all that, even though I had court-appointed attorneys, and we fought them all the way, and we did a good job. But still, it's just not worth it to have these little eat, meet, and retreat and show things and march around a cross and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's another little note out of New York area. Dear TT, Europeans are starting to wake up to the fact that what is going on in Belgium, Germany, Sweden, Italy, and other parts of Europe is an invasion. I liked your Friday, April the 1st show when you called it what it is, an invasion. This only happens because time and time again our leadership screws us out just to keep their power, money, and position and wealth. I saw a document on England about when the Romans came to up there to England. I don't know, Ivanhoe? Instead of the leadership engaging in guerrilla warfare, the chieftains collaborated with the Romans, and the average Brit was enslaved or dispossessed for 400 years. Nothing's changed. At least the Romans were more honest about and didn't come off sounding like liberators of flaming liberal. Bottom line, the top always sells out their own. People out to maintain power, especially when it comes to compromise with the superior force. They will not risk discomfort or wealth or their very lives. Especially today's politicians compromise, and like Matt Bracken of, I don't get this, Matt Raymond of Enemies Foreign and Domestic once said, if you make a character of practice of compromising like politicians, you lose everything. Keep up the good work. Sorry, sometimes people, if they don't type, it's difficult. I know my writing is probably pretty difficult to read, too. So anyhow, that was a nice letter from one of the boys up there in New York, near New York City. Yeah. What else we got here? I'll tell you one thing. I saw a lot of good-looking women in my travels. You know, it's really enjoyable to travel through areas and to spots that have slender, beautiful women. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a womanizer at all. It just means I really enjoy the look of slim, beautiful, white women. And there's not so many around here. There are some. Some really nice. We have beauty contests here, and so they do come around. But mainly when you're traveling, you see, and if you sit around an airport, a large airport, you'll see any kind of woman you ever want to see. So I'm not only a woman watcher, I'm a people watcher. So anyhow, but don't start spreading the word that Tommy's like, well, a womanizer, because I ain't. And here's a letter from a white prisoner, POW. Recently, I wrote you for literature, and out of love and respect, you sent me a copy of a book. Unfortunately, where I'm currently located, the ZOG staff in the mailroom are very strict, so I find myself regretfully writing you an apology letter due to the prejudice of our judicial system. Know that the gesture was very much appreciated, and further my views on you as an honorable comrade to me and my AW family. I'm sending you 4 stamps enclosed in this letter for the inconvenience this has brought you, in the faith that you will receive this gesture as a token of my appreciation and further your contact with us. I wish I could send more to help you with your cause, But unfortunately, this is all I'm able to provide behind this confinement door. In the future, if you send me copies of a book, they have to be in a separate envelopes without copyright in them. I know it is probably from your publishing company, but as I've said before, we're dealing with the enemy here at Cross City Mailroom. As always, any literature you can provide will be very much appreciated. Thank you for your time. Forgive me for the observation this might have brought you and your staff. For love and for blood and the honor of our people, I will remain diligent and our cause stay strong. Okay, well, what I have to do, I guess, in most cases, because every mailroom in these prisons seems to be a little different, I have to actually send a book. And so what I do is usually I find a book at a price we can afford, and I send it under my publishing company address and put a receipt in there like they've purchased it from a regular book company, and it gets through that way. And then I have the POW send me stamps when he can for the book. So they'll usually send me 4 or 5 stamps. It may take them 6 months or whatever. And sometimes I don't even require it, because when somebody's in solitary confinement and they're totally locked down and they've got nothing to read and nothing, I'll send them a book free, you know, because that's the kind of guy I am, if people are nice to me. Now, recently I got an email from a prison staffer saying that somebody I had sent free literature had said he refused it and didn't ask for it. And he wanted to know whether that was true. And I told the guy, I said, look, I don't send anything to anybody that did not request it. And if accidentally I do, and they just tell me, don't send me any more, I don't send any more. I'm not going to waste my time and my friend's money on postage sending things out to people who don't want it. But, you know, there's a lot of guys who are pretty cowardly in prison. And so when they're put to the wall by the staff and given a hard time about receiving something from me, they're more likely to say, well, I didn't order it, you know. So anyhow, I straightened the guy out, and he was pretty fair about it. That's the prison staffer.
So-called Ferguson effect, an idea that suggests the city's crime rate increases as police officers turn their backs to violent crime cases. Those officers usually upset because people are ticked off, they've done something stupid. Well, November 24, 2015, authorities released the dash cam video of the Laquan McDonald shooting. As a result, you've seen all sort of studies showing that in Chicago there's been a 48% increase in shootings there also, but guess what? A 48% decrease in arrests. What in the world is going on in Chicago? And so we want to talk about that right now. The folks at 538, a website, they have been actually looking at this, breaking down these numbers. Let's go to it right now. Jeff Asher, he's out of New Orleans, a crime analyst and a contributor to 538. Jeff, I got the impression that cops in Chicago don't want to leave because they're now scared to death of being busted, caught on video.
Well, we were very careful in the report not to necessarily point out any causation. So it's difficult to say from the data what the actual cause of the slowdown or what actually caused the change in both the gun violence.
What in the world is going on in Chicago? And so we want to talk about that right now.
It's difficult to say from the data whether what the actual cause of the slowdown or what actually caused the change in both the gun violence increasing and the arrest rates for homicides, non-fatal shootings, and proactivity to go down.
Well, here's the deal, Jeff. It's not like they fired a bunch of police officers. It's not like a bunch of them retired. So you still have the same number of people who are out there on the streets. And then when you actually hear anecdotal information from cops, they're scared of being caught on tape. Here's the reality. If you do your job, if you don't lie on a police report, if you don't say that the guy came charging at you with the gun, when the video shows he didn't, if you don't go into a Burger King and erase the video, then guess what? Nobody's going to say you screwed up.
Absolutely. It's a very complex problem, and it's a problem that appears to not be getting better. One of the things, I just ran the numbers for this morning, there have been 546 non-fatal shootings this year in Chicago, and 7 of them have ended in arrest. So I do agree.
Hold on. 546?
Non-fatal shootings
and only 7 arrests.
Seven arrests as of April 4th. So, it's a very complex problem. I think that it needs a solution. No matter what the problem is, it is a completely untenable problem for both the Chicago Police Department and absolutely for the people of Chicago that are suffering under this gun violence epidemic.
Well, I saw this tweet from the guy who's actually a sports blogger, Clay Travis, and others who said, well, there you go, Black Lives Matter. You're leading to other black people getting shot and killed because of your protest, as if folks should not be protesting, crazy cops out of control.
Well, one of the things that we were able to do, and this is something that with all of the discussion of what's causing the increased gun violence in Chicago over the first quarter of 2016 focused on what they've been calling the sort of ACLU effect of the additional paperwork that was thrust onto the police department in the wake of the video coming out. And I think what our contribution is and what we were able to show is that everything started late November, early December. And so the comment that we reported that has been talked about in the Chicago press and throughout Chicago is this stay fetal reaction of Chicago Police Department. And everything started right after the video. And so it's hard to necessarily blame the protests because the reaction was
right.
So swift. And it does, and honestly, just speaking from not necessarily being able to back this up with the data, but I think that the most compelling argument is that the police department, not through an organized slowdown, but through this natural reaction of fear and uncertainty, started or stopped doing the police work that is so important. And
right.
You see that throughout the numbers. And if you're not solving non-fatal shootings, it's going to increase, remove the deterrent effect that could potentially drive down shootings and homicides. And so if the only shootings that you're even trying to solve are fatal shootings, then you're going to have a spiraling out of control gun violence. And I think that's what the data shows is happening.
Gotcha. All right, then, Jeff, we appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Panel, real quick before I got to go to a break, it's clear these cops don't want to do their job,
that's
and they're purposely slowing down and say, fine,
right.
We're not going to do anything. We'll let folks just go crazy.
Yeah, they're punishing the community.
Right.
This is a backlash, and it is organized. I mean, I don't see how anyone can be, want to conjecture one thing and conjecture something else. I will gladly conjecture that this is organized slowdown because we're seeing it across multiple cities after similar occurrences where cops are caught on tape actually killing people without cause.
And this is a corrupt police department. We still haven't had any accountability for the black site where they arrested they didn't even formally arrest, just held and detained 7,000 black men. Never have anyone been held accountable for this. This is a corrupt police department. It cannot try to hide behind some kind of excuse as long as it keeps on operating the way it does. This police department needs to be cleaned up from
absolutely.
Bottom to top.
And again, bottom line is it's also leadership. That's why I also say you can't hire a superintendent from on the inside because
right.
It's part of the culture.
Thank you. Kickstart your
day. Well, that report from Chicago, that's a good report. 500 and some shootings so far. 500 and some. Most of them were not life-threatening. Of course, it seems to me that any time you get a bullet in you, it's life-threatening. Could be. Well, anyhow, the blacks, of course, it's not their fault. They're just being picked on because of this racist, goddamn white system. And the cops are saying, fuck you. We're just going to turn it down our activity here a little bit. We're just going to let you stew in it a little bit, which is great. It serves our purpose, or my purpose at least. I love it. Because I wish the police would strike, especially when it gets up there about 99 degrees in the shade this summer. Yeah, and let the let these African Americans work it out. And but you see, everybody's afraid of these. They're afraid of blacks. Whites are afraid of blacks. Anybody in a position of power, of course, is petrified to be called a racist. And so you can't solve a problem. You cannot solve the problem. So chaos is going to reign, and it's going to be wilder and wilder. It's going to be a Wild West society. In this country, in all the big cities, and even small towns. So you can't let somebody have a protected status, give them a title of nobility, without something going wrong. And they're going to kill each other, man. And that's good that they're killing each other. I mean, I mean, that's one way of limiting the black population. I'm unapologetic about that because of the damage they do to our race and our culture. Well, I'll tell you one thing, as far as work is concerned, you're going to see more and more Asians because the corporations that have caused us a hell of a lot of this problem are getting tired of losing money on lazy black employees. And so I think you're going to see much more Asians coming into the country because they obviously work better, they're smarter, in many cases more desirable as far as having around than blacks. And so that's just the way it goes. This country, North America, may end up being totally taken over by the Asians because they have the brains. And then if we don't get rid of these blacks, they will. Believe me, the Asians know how to handle blacks. And like I've told you before, the guys in Japan used to ask me when I was over there, well, how come you put up with these niggers in America? That's funny. When the Japanese, how you put up with nigger? How you put up with nigger? Why don't you take care of nigger? And I had to shake my head in shame. One more thing I wanted to talk about, and that was the fact that all these guys talking about going to this big, it's not going to be big, I'll guarantee you that, this gathering in Rome, Georgia. Do you realize how much money these guys are spending? Even if they're driving, and consider all the risks of driving, you know, like getting hit by a truck or something. But flying on an airplane down to Rome, Georgia, or from Chicago or New York, or maybe even out west, you realize how much that's going to cost? And then all the, you know, the lodging and the food and everything, and if they take that money and put it in their own bank account and keep it for their family or expanding the struggle in the area where they live, I mean, if they wanted to put out literature, they could have thousands and thousands of pieces of literature to be put out and sprinkled all over town for the price of driving to this clusterfuck down in Rome, Georgia. And many of these people don't have that much money, and they're taking it out of their family's mouths to go down and listen to some clowns down there and at their dress-up party. So think about it. If you got a family, and you may not even be working or anything like that, and you're going to run around the country going to these joker get-togethers, Think again. You better keep that money for a rainy day. Well, I see Canada is wising up. Canada's a liberal government. See, here's sometimes I agree with liberals. On Thursday, unveiled draft legislation on doctor-assisted suicide, which would apply to adults suffering serious and incurable illness and where death is reasonably foreseeable. The government, though, did not adopt suggestions from a parliamentary committee, which had suggested the law should also apply to those who suffer only from mental illness or those who put forward advance requests. The government proposed independent bodies study those issues, and the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, supports the legislation. The Supreme Court of Canada overturned a ban on physician-assisted suicide last year, unanimously reversing a decision it made in 1993 and putting Canada in the company of a handful of Western countries to make it legal. It's interesting that they'll fight tooth and nail for a woman's right over her body to have an abortion if she chooses. They'll go to the wall with that, but for people who are in agony and pain due to the modern medical business, they want to limit them from committing suicide. It doesn't even make sense. But I see California now has passed a bill on a physician-assisted dying will become legal in California under a bill signed into law Monday by Democratic Governor Jerry Brown. Yeah, I remember Jerry. I ran against him for United States Senate back in 82. Well, I do agree with him on this. The law, based on similar measures in Oregon, allows terminally ill people to seek a doctor's prescription for a lethal medication. As in Oregon, two doctors must agree the person has only 6 months to live and is mentally competent. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you should be able legally to decide on it anytime you want, and if you got the understanding of how to do it, do it. It's ancient Aryan law, and it goes without saying that throughout all the history of the Aryans, they had the, I won't say right, because there is no right anyhow. If someone wants to commit suicide, they do it. And it's been that way in all cultures, like the Japanese, when they commit harakiri or commit suicide. That's not up to the state to tell an individual whether he's going to live or die by his own hands. Screw the state. Last year, 29-year-old Californian Brittany Maynard died from an aggressive brain tumor, moved to Oregon to avail herself of the law there. She had to move clear to Oregon to get to die. She spent the final weeks of her life recording videos and doing interviews, lobbying for this bill to expand to other states. After her death, November 4th, her husband and her mother carried the effort to the California legislature. In a rare statement accompanying the signing notice, Brown, a former Roman Catholic seminarian, said he closely considered arguments on both sides of this controversial measure, which makes California only the fifth U.S. state to legalize assisted dying. Well, that way people can go from other states if they want to do that, and they can do it in California. Canada is barring people like from the United States from going up there to get assisted suicide, but now with California, and I think Oregon's got it, and maybe Washington, this problem is beginning to go away. Of course, 99% of this is results the problem from Christian propaganda, from insanity, Christians and Jews and others. Like a lot of other things we're saddled with, directly from the pushing and prodding of churches, Christ insanity people. Remember, in the old days, even the church said if you committed suicide, you could never have any entry to heaven. Yeah, if there was a heaven. You know, it's like these Arabs and their 32 women and all that kind of stuff. 32. I got a word on my head, but I can't think about it. Oh, 32 virgins, that's it, and something like that. I mean, can you believe that even an Arab, an uneducated Arab could believe that shit? Well, yeah, because if educated white Americans that are Christian can believe that kind of nonsense, well, I guess they can believe anything. On the other side, the argument, there's something good there, too, because unscrupulous caregivers and relatives could pressure vulnerable patients to take their own lives. But the new law makes it a felony to do that, and that's a good point. Now, down in Tennessee, the Christ Insanity people have come up with a bill to make the Bible, which is nothing but reheated Judaism, the new state book, right up there beside the state reptile, the salamander. So, but at least the governor has vetoed that bill, but it's still, there's enough Christ Insanity people. He'll probably get kicked out of office for not putting the biblical stories and Jewish Old Testament and everything as the state book. You know, no wonder technologically we're falling behind. It's insane. Insane. Here's more insanity. Muslim leaders have joined with dozens of interfaith allies. Remember, faith. Faith is a funny word. That's believing something without evidence. And anybody that believes something without evidence is a fool. Anyhow, they're calling on the Democratic and Republican national committees to formally commit to protecting religious minorities on the campaign trail. Well, do you know of any religious minority in this country offhand that's been pushed around or killed or anything else? Maybe an individual situation, but not collectively at all. They're always crying at their targets. The Christians are being targeted. Bullshit. They're doing the targeting. Previous campaigns have targeted candidates, but shoulder to shoulder, a coalition of 32 religious denominations and organizations, including the Islamic Society of North America and the National Council of Churches, is aiming for party heads. This is a bunch of criminals, a bunch of crooks conspiring together. Now they say, what did I say? Previous campaigns have targeted candidates. Well, you mean there are people trying to get them to change their mind on maybe assisted suicide or other things that the churches are all hot about? Yeah, well, of course they're being targeted, and also by the atheists and so forth. So they should be targeted. You know, that's my view on that. But don't worry, Christians and Jews. As long as religion is a nearly $1 billion business in this country, at least, and we've got stupid people sending millions of dollars outside the country supporting missionaries in the pest holes of Asia and so forth, as long as we've got all that, and we got families out on the corner on Saturday morning with garage sales to collect money to send to Haiti and places like that, don't worry, you're safe. This is quoting these people I'm talking about. When we have people whose bigoted, hateful, Islamophobic, racist rhetoric challenges the very principles of American society, when they seek the highest office in the land, we stand sister to sister, brother to brother, shoulder to shoulder, and we say no, said Rabbi Jonah Pesner of the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism in a Washington press conference. Wow. So if you're involved in any of these churches, synagogues or other buildings that house these mind control people. You can't serve two masters. You don't have to serve the white race, but you should work for the best interests of the white race. But to go every Sunday or Saturday or when you go to these Christ Insanity or other religious gatherings, you are the enemy of the white race. So that's all I can tell you, man. If you're playing two sides of the game, you're wrong, and you're wasting your time. In fact, you become part of the problem. You know, this John Casey, who's still hanging in there, muddying the water for the presidency, and he's got a lot of history behind him over in Ohio. He's up in New York, and this Jew wrote an article about him, said, "I like John Casey, even though I do not agree with many of his positions. He seems like a mensch." Of course, in Jew talk, that means nice guy. And that word mensch is one that he could have certainly thrown around during his recent visit to Eichler's Judica, a religious bookstore located in heavily Orthodox Borough Park, Brooklyn. Governor Casey was making a campaign stop at the store and encountered a group of Haredim, so-called ultra-Orthodox Jews. After a few niceties, he began explaining the Torah to the Jews in a move that one wag called goy-splaining, when a Gentile explains Judaism to Jews. There is a Yiddish, actually Hebrew word for that. You got it, chutzpah. The audacities to these Christians is unbelievable. They're trying to teach about Judaism to Jews. Let's go a little bit farther with this article. Casey, an Ezra Friedlander, a Democratic strategist, got into a nice little scriptural debate over who is the most admired person in the Torah. Quote, "I would say Moses," Friedlander said. Quote, "What about Abraham? What about Abraham?" Casey asked. Friedlander explained that Moses presented the Torah to the Jewish people and that he was the true founder of Judaism. Of course, remember now, every time you send your little kiddies off to church, they're studying the Torah. Quote, "What are you talking about? Get out of here," Casey dismissed the explanation. This guy has really got balls. "The story of the people are Abraham. When God made a covenant with Abraham, not Moses," unquote. In our prayers, we do mention Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we refer to the laws as the laws of Moses and Israel, Friedlander explained. Now, this is like two mental patients talking to each other. Napoleon and who else? Switching topics, Casey then asked a Haredim if they knew anything about Joseph. Now, of course, most of these people did not exist, at least in the form that's in the Bible at all. Quote, "Have you studied Joseph? Did you hear the most important thing Joseph said to his brothers? My brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph may have been a little bit of a braggart, but they threw him in the ditch, and then his brother saved him, and then they sold him into slavery." And that's how the Jews got to Egypt, right? Well, so as they would say in the yeshiva world, what is the rash, the below-the-line interpretation of Casey's miniature Torah lesson? Okay, let's find out. Casey's was clearly intending to simply make relevant, friendly conversation the way that a candidate would talk to Home Depot employees about, nails. Unfortunately, though, his discourse falls on a sad category of Jewish-Christian conversation, in which Gentiles, mostly Christians, have tried to explain to Jews what the Jew scriptures really mean. This tradition goes all the way back to the beginnings of Christianity, in which the Christians hectored Jews for the fact that the Jewish Bible predicted the advent of Jesus. Take a tour of medieval cathedrals and you will see the allegorical statue of the blindfolded woman, symbolizing the Jews who are blind to their own truths, and you don't have to look far to see contemporary examples of non-Jews who are all too ready to explain the meaning of Jewish peoplehood and Israel to the Jews. Well, I think many times the Jews have to explain it to each other because it's so whacked out. And in fact, this is precisely what Casey did subsequently when he interpreted the blood on the doorposts of Jews in Egypt as the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. While this is a common Christian interpretation, to Jewish ears, it's plain offensive and inappropriate. A bad move, man. That was kite blood, man. Casey's voted for, in fact, at the time there was no Christians when it started. Casey's voted for Abraham as the founder of the Jewish people, being better than Moses. His interlocutors preferred Moses as the founder of the Jewish religion. There's actually is room for debate there. Rabbi Donald Hartman engages in that debate in his new book, Putting God Second, How to Save Religion from Itself. It's a larger conversation. Is Judaism mainly a people, the Abrahamic argument, or mainly a religion, the Moses argument? Well, I guess they can't figure that out. Casey was engaging in a very Jewish conversation. Finally, the bit about Joseph. Casey was telling the story of how exactly the Jews got into Egypt in the first place because they followed Joseph there. Now, he has absolutely no idea what happened back there. Almost nobody does, especially if you look at it from a religious point of view. If you look at it as a scientific point of view, you can figure it out. A true historical thing. But now, let's dig a little bit deeper into Casey's interpretation of the Joseph story. I will leave you to debate why he chose to mention the fact that Joseph was a braggart. Or perhaps, okay, this is a stretch. Casey sees himself as Joseph, a loser who has electorally been in the pit, but who could miraculously emerge from that pit and ascend to power. I don't know, but I will say this. Casey's pointed out the part of the Jewish story that I love the most as well. Quote, "My brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That's all about faith. That's all about the fact that there is always something bigger going on and that we cannot know about, and that sometimes our seemingly pitiful and even irrelevant actions bear the imprint of the divine map, whatever the hell that means. Just saying, John Casey is a man of faith, and this is the bottom line, and it's a good thing. Ha ha ha. The only thing Casey really has faith in is the corrupt political system of the United States and even beyond that. That's what he has faith in. He has faith in money. He has faith in power. And he has faith in all kinds of things, but not very spiritual. He tells himself that, though. These people tell themselves that every morning when they brush their teeth. I is a Christian. I love Jesus. And I will always love Jesus. Because he's in my heart. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. I'll be back on Moonsday. And have a good weekend. It's beautiful weather around here. On the, what is it? This is the 15th. Yeah, of April. Boy, half the month is gone already. But stay out of those mind control centers. They're on every block. And yeah, and if you want to do yourself in, go right ahead. It's your business.